Welcome to Purpose Without Limits, the show which strives weekly to empower you to reach your true potential, to help you understand how a simple shift in thinking can make success a reality, both professionally and personally. You'll learn about business etiquette intelligence and why a first impression is so crucial, and the real rules of the game to help you outclass your competition. Your host, Dallas Teague Snyder, is founder of Make Your Best Impression, author of the book Professionally Polished, Business Etiquette Savvy for Today's Competitive Market, and co-author of Executive Etiquette Power. For more, visit MakeYourBestImpression.com. The time to become your best self is today. Here's Dallas Teague Snyder.
Welcome to Purpose Without Limits. This is your host, Dallas. And if you guys have not been to our website yet, it is purposewithoutlimits.com. And let me rephrase, www.purposewithoutlimits.com. It is getting cooler here where I live, and I'm so enjoying it, getting the chance to bring out the sweaters and wrap up with some great scarves. You know, accessories are amazing. And, you know, there's a change in the air. And I really think that kind of encapsulates what we're talking about today, because it doesn't have to be a change of seasons, actually, from a physical standpoint, but it could be a change of seasons in our own mind, a change of seasons in our life. And that happens all the time, doesn't it? So our guest today is somebody that I just really resonated with. And, you know, I've told you all before, the world is about relationships. And every time you have an opportunity to connect with someone, you always need to think about just what that can bring. And Matthew Casalotto is an amazing individual, and I can just not say enough about him. I'm so thrilled to have him on the show today. If you guys have thought about folks that you've heard at major companies, MCI, GTE, companies where you've said, wow, they really spoke to me. I really think that executive said exactly what I was thinking. They're on the ball. Well, you know, Matthew was probably behind that. You know, not everybody's a good orator or a writer. And that's one of the things that he is very passionate about and has done for many years. But of course, as we have different seasons in life and life in general, there are many journeys that we take. Another thing about Matthew that I think is very intriguing, especially as we're coming upon the elections right now, is that he was the founding president and board chair of the Center of Voting and Democracy. So I definitely want him to share a little bit about that with us. So without further ado, I would like to introduce you to my friend, Matthew Casalotto. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Dallas. So great to be with you.
Well, Matthew, we mentioned it a little briefly in our conversations, but I'm so glad that you connected with me at our conference in Las Vegas about 6 months ago. It was a pleasure to meet you, and I just am so excited about your passion and what you're doing. So before we get started with that, I know that the listeners are really eager. Well, what is he doing? Tell us about it. But tell us a little bit about your background so we can understand kind of what led you to this point.
Well, we have a limited amount of time, but it's my favorite topic, talking a little bit about myself. I hate to say that, but...
Well, that's human nature, isn't it?
That's human nature. Right. Well, I'll try to give a very, very short, not even a Cliff Notes version. I did work on Capitol Hill. You mentioned the Center for Voting and Democracy. I worked on Capitol Hill for a couple of members of Congress, including a former Speaker of the House. This was years ago, and I hope people don't hold it against me. I was a congressional aide.
Which, wow.
Unfortunately, now sometimes that gets sort of a bad rep, but I think that it was an exciting period of time. It's back mostly in the 80s, and worked for the Speaker of the House, Jim Wright, and I got interested in politics. Was interested, still interested in politics. And after I worked on the Hill, I got involved with some reform efforts, a voting system reform. I got very intrigued. In fact, wrote a book about the voting systems in Europe. Called the Almanac of European Politics, and I got interested in that, and I decided to help form an organization called the Center for Voting and Democracy. It still exists. I'm no longer the president, but I'm still actively sort of involved in what they do. But the website for that is fairvote.org, if anybody wants to check it out, fairvote.org. It's all about different voting systems to help translate votes into actual representation and political power.
Well,
and
And that is so, the reason it caught my eye, I don't know if I shared with you, but back in 1990, this was right after the fall of the wall, the Berlin Wall.
Right.
I had a chance to go to Czechoslovakia when it was a country and actually witnessed these political rallies the first time in 40 years. So I certainly, this is so important. And, you know, with we have such an apathy in our country. People don't get out to vote. And it's such a freedom that we have that we take for granted. Wouldn't you agree?
It is. We ought to be much more passionate about voting. In fact, we can link one of my other passions. We'll talk about make a promise in a minute. But I'd like to suggest that people make a promise that they're going to go vote on Tuesday and participate in the civic life of our country. The reason I got involved with the voting system reform is I think there are better ways to encourage people to vote. And this is one of my ideas, Dallas. We haven't talked about this. I think we should have an election day holiday, you know, on a Tuesday. It's the middle of the week. It's a work day for a lot of people, and a lot of people don't get to the polls, partly because it's really inconvenient to do it on a work day.
You know, that's a good idea. If we really want to hear the voice of America, if we really want them to participate, let's give them the time to do that. That's a great idea.
Yeah, it's almost like a no-brainer.
Yeah,
we fight wars to promote democracy, but we don't give an Election Day holiday. I don't really understand the reasoning behind that. So I encourage and really support the idea of an Election Day holiday.
Well, and I you know, somebody that is, I'm originally from Mobile, Alabama, which is the home of Mardi Gras.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we actually got Monday and Tuesday off a lot to celebrate Mardi Gras. So,
that's right.
You know, if we can do that, certainly we can push forth to have an Election Day holiday, especially.
Yeah.
Now, I would say that if people don't go vote, then they couldn't have the day off. Maybe they would have to show their employer that they actually voted, you know, the sticker I voted or what have you, or by records. But that would be a great way to make sure that you're hearing from the entire population, not from those select few that make it a priority.
And what we have now, we look at the opinion polls now, the likely voters, registered voters, and we're trying to figure out who might actually go to the polls. Well, let's send a signal that we, as a country, as a society, we value participation. We want people to vote. Give them a day off. And by doing that, by making it a holiday, it basically ups the ante, says, hey, we value this. Please get out and vote. I just think it's a great signal to send not only to our you know, citizens who are eligible to vote, but also young people, you know, younger kids who before they are old enough to vote. It's a signal that society values this particular part of civic life.
Well, and what a message would that say to our international counterparts?
There you go.
Yeah. You know, here we are fighting for democracy in other parts of the world, helping to give that to them, but that would really hone in that message that we are behind what we say, right? Action behind words.
Yeah.
So, well, let's talk about the power of making a promise. I know you're writing a book about that, and actually Jack Canfield, which is a co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, that series, wrote the foreword. So tell us a little bit about that and how that came about.
Well, the power of making a promise, this is one of my passions now. I've had several areas I really get interested in, and it just kind of dawned on me that there's a unique power behind this making a promise. And I come at this from a personal experience of having made a promise, and we talked a little bit about this. I made a promise to my mother on her deathbed. She had contracted cancer, lung cancer, and it was a little bit sudden. And I decided, we've been talking about a book that I wanted to write. It was a self-help book about the habits of success, habits of failure, and two acronyms, these seven-letter words. And she was really encouraging me to finish the book. And sometimes, as a mother does, sometimes she was prodding me, you know, where's that book? Matthew, it's a really good idea. The failure habits, the success habits, the seven-letter acronyms, do something with it.
Yeah.
And I was dragging my feet a little bit, and I realized when she became really sick, I thought, you know, what can I do for my mother to let her know that I'm going to finish this book that she and I have been talking about? So I decided to make a promise to her on her deathbed, and I said, literally, I promise, Mom, I'm going to finish this book, and I'm going to dedicate it to your memory. That was the key part of it. We both knew that she was not going to live long enough to see the book and to see the dedication. So it was a very one of those moments where you get really choked up, you fight back tears a little bit. Her face lit up. It was one of these, I'm so glad I made the promise. I'm so glad I said this to her, because sometimes, you know, in life, you don't say things that you know. Basically, I told her I'm gonna finish this book, and there'll be a dedication to you and your memory. So, because she had been so encouraging.
Well, so, and oftentimes those people in our lives that, you know, kind of want to prod us a little bit, you know, we may see that as nagging, but really, you know, they really have the inside of who we are, and oftentimes we need to look at that a little more closely. We don't need to disregard what these people say to us, because again, everyone, you know, you have to be able to discern what is good information and what is bad information. Mm-hmm. But you were able to take this, something that she continued to bring up to you, and say, you know, I promise I'll do something with this. And now it's really become a passion and something that you're determined to do, is it not?
Well, it is, and I did finish that book, and the book exists, which I'm proud that I did that. It was originally self-published as Habit Force, and then a publisher got interested, and so it's been sort of republished and has a different title, which we really don't have time to get into probably, but it's called The Real F Word, which is about the failure traps that hold people back. And so that's and there's a dedication in there to my mother. About this, in fact, the phrase, which is really interesting, Dallas. I didn't know this at the time, but let me just read the dedication, if you don't mind.
Oh no, I would love that. I would love that.
It's pretty short, but the dedication, which appears in the book, says, "In loving memory of my mother, Virginia Hope Ludasher Butler, I did it, Mom. Finally, I can honestly say that this book would never have been completed had I not made that promise to you." At home in Gaski, California, a few weeks before you passed away. Mm-hmm. This vividly demonstrates the power of making a promise, especially to your mother. That's the dedication. Now, little did I know that this phrase, the power of making a promise, would linger in my imagination.
It's funny how that works, isn't it?
Yeah, it would kind of hang around a little bit, and I have now, that's the working title for my book that you mentioned. Jack Canfield will be doing the foreword, and the idea for the book, The Power of Making a Promise, sort of takes this whole promise to the next level, and it's become really a passion of mine to spread the word about the power of making a promise, and we can talk a little bit about what that is, because it's different, I think, from goal setting or setting an objective or...
Yeah, and I think that's an important point, because a lot of times people focus on, okay, I've set my 5-year plan or my goals and I've accomplished that, so, and then they kind of get lost in what the next step is. So you talk about people turning goals into promises and that being more powerful. So tell us your thoughts about that and what you think brings that tenacity and power into play.
Yeah, well, I do. I talk about a promise as being like a goal on steroids. Because it's so much more powerful in the sense, for a couple of reasons. I'll tell you a couple that I have in mind is if you make a promise to someone you care about. And there are different ways to make promises, and we can talk about them. But one is, make a promise to someone you care about, which connects the emotion, the heart, to the outcome. So that your goal, if you turn a goal into a promise, like writing a book could be a goal, but if you, in my case, finishing a book and dedicating it to my mother's memory became a promise. So there was no, failure was not an option.
Yeah,
there was no turning back. A goal you can kind of say, well, I don't have time, or mm-hmm. a goal you can say, well, maybe I'll get around to it later. You can change it. The way I think about a promise, you can change a goal, but you can only break a promise. And so that's why it's more powerful. You're more locked in. It's a goal on steroids.
So let me ask you a quick question, though. When I think about that, I love that phrase, by the way, goal on steroids. But okay, say I'm an individual and I want to make a promise. You know, do you think it would be human nature to be a little more timid? Because, you know, there's a lot of stress and pressure involved in that, isn't there?
Well, you have to be selective.
Okay.
I'm not saying every single goal in your life should become a promise. You have to you have to recognize, one of the things I said was that you have your heart involved in a promise, right, in a way, because you have someone you care about. You also have accountability because you have someone else involved you made a promise to, and they're going to help keep you honest about it. They're going to say, what are you doing about that thing you promised? And so there's a accountability. And the other thing that's really important about all this, with a promise, your integrity is on the line.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to, and this is the what I call the promise challenge, and I talk about what's your promise, what are you willing to put your integrity on the line about, knowing that you've got some skin in the game now. You can't, it's not just something you hope to do someday. It's not a wish. It's not even a kind of a vague goal. It's a real commitment. So, you know, be selective. Don't have 100 promises.
Well, because then it's like the boy crying wolf, isn't it? You just don't, you know, there's no validity to it anymore, and there's no integrity behind that. So here's a question I have for you, and you mentioned this earlier, there are different types of promises. Well, what if, you know, maybe somebody doesn't have that mother or that situation yet. Maybe it's a young person that just promises to graduate from college no matter what it takes. You know, there's power in that as well, isn't there?
I love that. Yeah, you don't have to wait for a loved one to, you know, to be sick. You don't, you can make a promise to your parents that you're going to do your very best in college. You can make a promise. There's something I call the two magic words, I promise.
Wow, that's so profound.
Yeah, those are magic words.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you have even a smidgen of integrity, a little taste of it, if there's a little bit down there, and I think a lot of people really feel compelled to keep their promises as opposed to some of the other things, other commitments they might make. Promises are a special category. So, you know, again, you might have 5, you might have 10, you might have 1 promise that you are really dedicated to. I think you should have a handful. Write them down. There are all, I have special tips, you know, 7 tips that I recommend that
you talk
to follow.
About, yeah, let's
should
talk
we go
about,
through those?
Yeah, I would love that. Let's give our folks some good meat to, you know, for their time today. Absolutely. Let's talk about the 7
things. These are helpful hints or tips for making and keeping your promises. The first one is to commit emotionally. And these are just little, just give the short version of these, but commit emotionally. And that's where you make a promise to someone you care about. Now, you can make a promise to yourself, you can make a promise to God, you can make a promise to, you know, different people. But I'm recommending people make a promise in addition to everything else, yourself, God, everything else. You make a promise to someone you care about. That's going to help you commit emotionally. So that's a key thing. Commit emotionally, have your heart in it.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is, be specific. You have to get really specific about the promise. It can't be, you know, I'm going to get rich or something. I promise to get rich. It has to be a little bit more specific. And in my case, I'm going to finish this book. I knew exactly what the book was. I'm going to dedicate it to my mother's memory. That was very clear. So be specific about the promise. Maybe you want to lose weight. It could be I'm going to lose 20 pounds. And, you know, be very clear about it. Be selective. We talked about that.
Right.
Pick, you know, 1 or 2 important goals, and start with those. You know, be selective, start with those. Now, I also recommend that people might want to think about starting small, so that's the fourth one, is start small.
Well, and that's so important, because we have to build upon successes, don't we?
Exactly.
Right.
Good. I mean,
yeah.
Exactly what I have in mind. It's almost like going to the gym and working out or running or anything else you do, or push-ups. You want to start small, because you'll build up what I call your achievement muscles. You'll build up confidence that you can actually do what you say you're going to do.
Right.
So you do that with a couple of things. You might make a promise that you're going to, you know, let's say lose 5 pounds, something that you can achieve in a few weeks or something, and make sure that you stick to it. And then you'll build up that confidence, your achievement muscles. So start small is a good way to build up your confidence. The fifth one is to write it down. It's very important to make it, as I said earlier, concrete. Writing it down helps to make it real. You can actually post the promise on your computer screen, or, you know, in your office, or carry it in your wallet, or, you know, make sure you can see it. So your promise should be written down.
Well, and I even think, Matthew, you could take this as, you know, you have that dream board, if you will.
Yes.
You know, place that where you're seeing it all the time, where it reminds you of it. Because, you know, it's easy to kind of turn it off on your computer, but have it where you can visually see it. So it's always sort of top of mind awareness.
Exactly. That vision board is really useful. You put your promise maybe right in the middle there. Depends on what the promise is. And,
sure.
And as I said, there are different kinds of promises. But you can also make it public. So you, when you make a promise to someone you care about, that's partially public. Someone else involved, that helps with the accountability. But you can tell more people. You can, as I've done several times, and again here today, I'm on the radio talking about the power of making a promise. And I've done this, in fact, a couple of hosts have asked me, well, what promise do you want to make public now? And I have something called Make a Promise Day we'll talk about. But I have made it a public promise that I'm going to turn Make a Promise Day into a worldwide, well-known day every year that people recognize. So I've made a promise to do that. And so you make a public promise, and that sort of locks you in again to accomplish what you say you're going to do.
Well, and you know, this is something that just for our listeners, for the purpose, because they think, well, I'm not somebody who wants to be on the radio, or my promise is not that important. Well, it's so easy to even start a blog, if you will. You know, it's free to do, and it's easy to start writing about it. Maybe you can kind of journal what you're doing to move forward with that promise. And
right.
You can do that online. You never know who's going to be following that. Maybe invite a few friends, you know, email them to have them comment about it to keep you accountable. And something that's really important, too, for our listeners is to remember that, you know, regardless of what your faith is, you know, it's very important to have accountability because, you know, no matter where we are in life, we've got to have that person that could help us, like you say, be accountable, somebody that can be a sounding board, that can help us discern what possibly is good. You know, maybe there's a promise that's not going the right way, and somebody else can show us a different way where we're not stuck, if you will. So, like, you know, iron sharpens iron, if you know, that's kind of what I'm saying.
And getting other people involved, a sort of a support group, a mastermind group, as some people talk, you mentioned a blog, people can get on Twitter for free.
Mm-hmm.
They can tweet their promises if they want to do that and get people following their promises. Like I said, I've mentioned promise to vote. I did that on Twitter. I put out a little Twitter message, a tweet, to promise to vote. Or there are ways you can make your promises public,
right.
Through blogs, through Twitter, through Facebook. So that's a really good idea. The other thing, I'll just mention this real quickly, is with Make a Promise Day, and that's May 4th every year. And I don't know if I'll have time to get into too much of that.
No, you do. And like, as you're talking a little bit, then share with us also how you came about May 4th. Most people will think of that as Cinco de Mayo, you know.
Just before.
Okay, yeah, that's right, the day before. But maybe they promise not to drink too much on Cinco de Mayo. But anyway, I'm sorry. So, yeah, tell us a little bit about that significance and why you picked that date.
Okay, and I'll do that. Let me just finish. I said make it public. The last one, the seventh of the tips, is follow through. And again, just to make sure that everyone understands, once you make a promise, we talked about this, your integrity is on the line, mm-hmm. So follow through. That's the seventh tip. You really have to be committed to it. So, yes, Make a Promise Day was a little bit of a brainstorm I had, an epiphany, that the one way to get people to appreciate the power of making a promise is to create a day. I don't know if I can call it a holiday, but it's, at some point maybe it'll be something of a recognized day of celebration. And it's really all about personal empowerment and integrity enhancement and achievement and all these things that go with making a promise.
Mm-hmm.
And so I picked May 4th for a reason, and I don't know if I ever told you why. And I've asked, I do this on radio, and I do it in my book, and I try to explain why. When I launched it this year, I picked it for a particular reason. And your role here, Dallas, is to ask me why I picked
that day. Matthew, why in the world did you pick May 4th?
There you go.
How's
you're playing
that?
Along nicely.
Yes, well, thank you know, you. When you're told what to do, that's not, I'm just kidding.
All right, so I'm glad you asked.
Yes, of course. Please share
that
with us.
I was trying to figure out what day of the year would this really make sense, this Personal Empowerment Day, and it just kind of dawned on me that this was the only day of the year that this would work. And I wanted to be able to say the following sentence, and it would make sense.
Everybody.
Ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
Yeah.
Okay.
May the 4th be with you.
No. Oh, I love
May the 4th be with you. So on May,
so that's
May
great.
The 4th, you can say to your, if you make a promise or someone makes a promise to you, you can say, may the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you.
That. So that you'll follow through and you'll achieve what you set out to do.
Right.
So it's a personal empowerment message. Mm-hmm. May the 4th be with you. Obviously, from Star Wars, may the Force be with you.
Sure.
But it's the only day. I tried other dates. I tried June the 15th be with you. It doesn't work.
No, or, it just doesn't have the same
cachet.
No, exactly.
So may the 4th be with you. That was the approximate sort of reasoning. It worked out really nicely because it was just about a week, not quite a week before Mother's Day this year, and it's around Mother's Day, and this is the connection that I had with this, the power of making a promise associated with the promise I made to my mother. So that's how I came up with that. I wanted it around Mother's Day, but here's the thing. You don't have to store up all your promises to May 4th. You can make a promise any day of the year. The May 4th date was really as a sort of public awareness kind of day, maybe have some events and some celebrations about this power. And people can make promises. On Mother's Day, for instance, I suggest strongly that people give their mother flowers and a promise on Mother's Day.
Oh, and we women would love that, wouldn't we? Of course, the follow-up, your last, number 7 is key. You can't promise and not deliver. Otherwise, that would be a very bad Mother's Day.
That would not be a good present for Mother's Day. There's also Father's Day.
Yeah.
And there's another way to make things. This is all about making it public. Here's another great idea, I think, is on your own birthday, you could use your birthday as a way to day to make a promise, and you could light candles and blow them out, but instead of making a wish, you could make a promise and make it public
like
to everybody around. So all of your friends and relatives that are around, I promise to stop smoking or whatever, whatever it is that might be a personal empowerment, goal that you've had and you've had trouble achieving in the past. Some people really had trouble following through. So that's why I say turn a goal that maybe you've had some trouble with into a promise, a heartfelt promise, and that will give you, there's no guarantee in this business, but it'll give you a much much greater likelihood that you're going to follow through and actually, do what you say you're going to do. You want to do it. You want to lose the weight, or you want to quit smoking, but this would just give you a little added support, emotional and otherwise. Make it public. People help make you accountable for your promise.
What would you say? Let's say we have people listening all over the world. We're on iTunes and people share. In fact, if you're listening today, please share our radio show with people all over, because we want to inspire folks around the world. But if we right now we wanted to get started, what would be, if you could give 3 key things to do to get started, because maybe they're saying, I like this idea, but I don't know where to begin. Sometimes things can seem so overwhelming that we just don't move at all. So what would be 3 small steps they could do to get started right away?
Well, I think it's a good question. One of the most important things to do is to look at what you've already decided you'd like to achieve in your life, a couple of goals that you've already set in your mind. You know you want to do certain things, whether it's writing a book or maybe having a radio show, or maybe it's just graduate from college, which is a big deal, or any goal that you have, and maybe it's losing weight, as we talked about that, or having more healthier lifestyle,
or better relationship with your spouse,
better relationships, or some spiritual goal that you might have. Look at some of your goals and take a couple of them and turn them into promises.
Okay.
So I'm not, you don't have to create a whole new goal. You just have to, what a promise does is it creates a whole new level of commitment to the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what we're talking about. And that's the magic, those magic 2 words. If you say, I promise to lose 20 pounds, that's a different kind of situation than if you say, as we, do with New Year's resolutions, or sometimes just have vague goals about, I want to lose some weight. No, let's have a promise. So you can translate 1 or 2 goals that you've had for years into a promise.
Yeah, that really gives it that power you were saying. Sure.
It adds a little bit more of a commitment level of a heart. And there's another way I think about this. It's the left brain, right brain kind of a dichotomy. A lot of goals and objectives that we have in life tend to be, I think, a little bit more on the left side of the brain. If people don't know what that means, it's basically a little bit more
logical,
intellectual, logical mm-hmm. side of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And the promise, I think, gets you nicely and favorably into the right side of the brain because it involves heart and passion
yes.
and emotion.
Well, you know, it's something that has just resonated with me, and I think it would with our listeners, too, because Bobby Bowden, who was a professional, you know, with a college coach and very well known in that arena, you know, he was talking about there was a young man that worked for him that was, you know, 6'5" and had great size and was fast, but he just didn't have the heart. And that is the it, and that's what you're talking about, that passion, that determination, that thing that you can't get by all the other, you know, by all the other denominators.
Yes, it is the heart will keep you on track. And I also have a notion, I call it the GPS success system, mm-hmm. which is all about keeping you on track. And it's interesting that the G in this GPS system that I have is the G stands for goals. And so you have goals. If you turn some of those into the P, which is promises, GP,
mm-hmm.
You are going to equal success.
Sure.
Which is, yes, so GPS, goals to promises equals success. It's a simple kind of an idea, but the G is goals, the P is promises, the S is success. And that's how you keep on track, and that's where the heart and the emotional commitment come into play, because there are going to be all kinds of reasons not to do what you say you want to do. I mean,
sure.
I had doubts and I had misgivings and considerations about finishing the book. I wasn't a self-help guru. I just had some ideas for this book.
Right.
And my mother was encouraging me to finish it. I thought they were great ideas, but you know, I thought, well, wait a minute. What
Who
am I going to do with the book?
Right,
why do I spend all this time figuring out this book? No one's ever going to buy it.
Yeah,
you know?
Who cares what I think?
Yeah, cares what I think?
Exactly.
So, but then I said, wait a minute, I promised.
Mm-hmm.
I made a promise.
Well,
so that kept me on track. Now the book is out there. You know, one day, hopefully destined to be a bestseller, this book. But the next one, The Power of Making a Promise, is the one I think is what this is all about. It's about sharing this power with millions of people. That's now my purpose and my passion. Sharing the power of making a promise with millions of people around the world, bringing this power to them so they can achieve more in their lives.
Well, that's great. Let's go back to the three steps again. So we said one was to look at what you already have, your goals, and maybe make two of those a promise. And what would be, you know, for those of folks that want to get started, so what would be the next thing to do?
Well, I would,
things.
You know, obviously, once you've decided on what the goal is and you turn it into a promise, then I would, you know, go back to the seven tips. I would say, hey, maybe you want to start a little bit on a small. Don't pick, you know, world peace as your first promise.
Are you sure? Oh, my goodness, all of our beauty pageant contestants will be upset about that.
I mean, maybe that should be your second your promise. But the first one might be something that is manageable, something you can actually do in the next few weeks or make progress on so that you start to build up that confidence and that achievement muscle. So start a little bit small on a couple of the first promises. You may want to start, you know, let's say you want to stop smoking, just to mention one that's kind of concrete. You may be able to make some headway the first month or two. You may not be able to completely stop smoking that quickly. So, you know, pick something you can actually do relatively quickly and then say, hey, I did it. You know, maybe it's write an article, or maybe it's, you know, something that you really have been putting off, but you can do it fairly quickly. So that would be useful. And I think probably the third thing that I really strongly recommend is to write it down. I mentioned that before.
Right,
put
to
it
be
on
specific
the,
on
the vision board, or put it, you know, on the refrigerator or somewhere that you can say, okay, that promise is locked in now, and I'm not going to deviate from it. I'm going to put the GPS on it, and I'm going to follow. I'm going to go I'm going to finish this. I'm not going to waver. So Well, I think those are key.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, is there a way that our listeners can reach you online where maybe they can get these seven keys again that they want to get started and connect with you? Is there something that they can access to get that information or your book, or how can we connect back with you, Matthew?
Well, there are a couple of ways. I think probably the easiest thing is there is a website, and I've used makeapromiseday.com. So that's the main website for all of my activities around this, makeapromiseday.com. Okay. And there are different pages and things. There are a lot of things. It's a work in progress, so your listeners ought to realize that what I want to do eventually, I'll have more resources. One of them is to have a printout of a written promise that people, you know, like a form that people can fill in the blank kind of thing. That's not there yet, but
sure.
I think that's coming. Also, there is an e-book, which I now call The Power of Making a Promise, and that book is going to be available. It's actually, there's a version of it up there now. I'm tweaking it a little bit, but people could go to makeapromiseday.com. There is an e-book that includes a lot of what we've talked about here, and that's not the book that's coming out later. It's just an early teaser kind of version of it.
Sure.
that discusses a lot of what we're talking about, the power of making a promise, the seven tips, the story about making a promise to my mother and how that has affected me, and some other stories. There are some amazing stories, and that's really what the next book is about. I'm going to be collecting stories, and people can send me recommendations of their own stories of promises made and promises kept, and there'll be a series of books about, and this is my vision for this project, is to have a series of books about real people, real stories about real people who made promises in their lives and kept their promises.
And then what they've been able to accomplish.
Sure. How that changed their lives, how that changed the lives of people around them. And so it's just kind of like the Chicken Soup series of people having, you know, their own stories, communicating those. And so this first book, I want to get some prominent people. For instance, just to give you an example, Oprah Winfrey made a promise to Nelson Mandela that she was going to build the school for girls in South Africa.
Right.
So this was a promise. I mean, she kept her word. And so what happens in real life? This is like real life experience. People make promises and they keep their word.
Well, and it's such a unique way to look at it, Matthew, which is just amazing because, you know, oftentimes people talk about folks that were successful, you know, Think and Grow Rich and those types of things. But this is a different way of looking at things and bring the heart into it. And I think it's just an amazing concept. What I always like to do when people go to the website is that from our guests, if there's anything that you can send me that if they come in and sign on to listen to the show, that we can give them just kind of a little snippet of maybe the seven keys or GPS or whatever, just so they can take a little bit of you with them. And then also on May 4th, where they can kind of reach out to you and see what they can do to get the word out. Because I think everybody out there, this can't pass by them. If they've got a heart, this has got to resonate in some way. So, you know, I know that we all want to be involved and help you with this, Matthew. So,
terrific.
Right, exactly. So,
well, there is an article that I have, a PDF. It can be I can send it to you.
Okay,
an article I wrote for Personal Excellence Magazine. You're familiar with that. You were on the cover of Personal Excellence.
Great magazine. Our friend Ken Shelton. Yes, if you're not familiar with that, definitely get the magazine. Wonderful. Yeah, that'd be great.
There's an article about the power of a promise.
Okay.
And I can send that to you. People can download that. They have that little. It's a nice kind of a primer into this whole topic. Tells a little bit of the story about the promise I made to my mother. I talk about as a kid, you know, it's interesting. As kids, you might remember this. I know as a kid, kids tend to sort of ask you if you promise.
Yeah,
a lot more than
promise?
Adults do.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like you promise people. You know, if I borrow money from a friend, I remember I was thinking about this a lot because as a kid, I would say, "Oh, I'm going to can I borrow 50 cents for an ice cream or whatever." And I'll pay you back, and it's always, you promise?
Yeah, exactly. It was always like that. We hold each other accountable when we're young,
right.
But we don't do it when we're adults, do we?
We don't say that. So that's your promise idea is in that article as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be good. Now, let me just Well, so people can come to the website, obviously, makeapromiseday.com.
Learn more about you there. If they want to bring your message into their workplace, they can contact you upon possibly speaking and so forth, making a promise there.
I have a keynote that I give and go out and talk to organizations and community groups and companies about the power of making a promise.
Right.
I think it's something that we could bring into the corporate world. We talk about government. Why don't we make making a promise and keeping your word something that every government official is part of.
Oh my gosh, I promise to vote my integrity.
Every corporate executive is part of, and they buy into this idea of making a promise and keeping their word.
Well, I think it's amazing, and unfortunately, we have to end our show. But
sorry to hear it.
Thank goodness that we have a way to get back with you, and I will make sure that we have that article that people from Personal Excellence that people can take a look at, and then on May 4th, we're going. You know, you've made a promise to us, Matthew. So
yes.
We will be looking forward to hearing about this all over the country. So
and I can't do it alone.
That's
so
right.
Help.
That's right. So and anything you want to send me, you know, little blurbs that I can post on my blog as people are coming in my newsletter about things that are happening with that, we can be sure to keep everybody up to date with that.
I would just want to sum it all up, and this is, you've been talking about three key things. I'll sum it up, and then I know we have to go, but here's my mantra that I end with: make a promise, keep your word, change your life, transform the world.
Love it. Love it. And I always say that Purpose Without Limits is about a show where you have one new idea that can change your world. So that's a beautiful way to end. Thank you so much, Matthew. We'll talk to you soon. Well, my friends, it's that time again, and I'm so glad that you joined us. Remember to go to www.makeyourbestimpression.com and sign up for the Business Etiquette Success Tips. I will be sending those only to people who register, because I don't want to send things to people who aren't interested in bettering themselves and just trying to move forward in this crazy world that we have. I don't want to bombard people with spam. So if you'd like to get our success tips, know about great information that can help you, also about upcoming shows, information about the radio show, and other member discounts and benefits and bonuses, be sure again to go to www.makeyourbestimpression.com and look on the page, and it'll say sign up to take the free quiz and to get your free bonuses. So be sure to do that. And again, thank you so much for tuning in. Share this with all your friends, and don't forget, make a promise and you'll be sure to keep it. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Purpose Without Limits with your host, Dallas Teague Snyder. Dallas is founder of Make Your Best Impression, author of the book Professionally Polished, Business Etiquette Savvy for Today's Competitive Market, and co-author of Executive Etiquette Power. Visit makeyourbestimpression.com for more information.